In the book of Acts, one of the titles assigned to King David is prophet. Today, we're going to see why that is. Psalm 22 brings us prophetically to the cross of Jesus, 1,000 years before that event unfolded. It reminds us that the death and resurrection of Jesus were always in God's plan. That's because we were always the object of His infinite love. This is the wisdom journey. Stephen continues teaching through the Bible with this lesson called The Psalm of Christ's Suffering.
I happen to believe what the Bible says about itself, that all of Scripture is sacred. It is inspired. That word means literally God breathed, 2 Timothy 3:16. And even though all of this book, the Bible, is sacred Scripture, there are some passages where you kind of want to slip off your shoes, because you recognize you're standing, as it were, on holy ground. Psalm chapter 22 is that kind of sacred ground. It's one of the most emotional and profound prophecies regarding the death of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. Now, you might recognize the opening line of this great psalm. Jesus quotes it from the cross 1,000 years after it was written. He says this, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" I want to point out, beloved, that nothing Jesus said on the cross was random or haphazard. In fact, this psalm is going to give us some incredible insights into how Jesus felt as he experienced being forsaken by his Father. The Apostle Peter and the Apostle John write that when Jesus hung on the cross, he bore in his own body the sins of the whole world, 1 Peter 2:24 and 1 John chapter 2 and verse 2. As such, his communion with God the Father was severed. The Father essentially turned his back on God the Son as Jesus became drenched, as it were, with our sin. Now, Jesus suffered as a man, fully man, but also as the infinite Son of God. So he's able to pay for all your sins and mine as a sacrifice on that wooden altar we call the cross. The psalm now takes us here in verse 6 to that crucifixion scene, and we hear the Lord saying this, "But I am a worm and not a man, scorned by mankind and despised by the people." Now, Isaiah is going to write later on in his great chapter, chapter 53, of the Messiah's rejection. He's going to write, "He was despised and rejected of men." Both the Jewish and Gentile worlds conspired together to put him to death. Just wasn't the Jews alone. It was the Jews and Gentiles together. Here in verse 7, in fact, David cites more words from the Lord's perspective. "All who see me mock me. They say, 'He trusts in the Lord,'" or God. "Well, let God deliver him." Get this. Matthew records the chief priests, scribes, and elders mocked him, saying, "He trusts in God. Let God deliver him." What are they doing? Well, they're fulfilling Psalm 22, word for word. Let me go back to this expression in verse 6 where the Lord says of himself, "I am a worm." The Hebrew word for worm here refers to a specific type of worm called the scarlet worm. The word also can refer to a color. It can be translated crimson in Isaiah 1:18, or scarlet as in Exodus chapter 25, verse 4. The scarlet worm attaches itself to a tree or to a wooden post, and then delivers her young. They are born, but she dies, and her body becomes their sustenance, their refuge, until they're old enough to fend for themselves. And when she dies, scarlet fluid from her body stains her children. It also leaves a crimson stain on that tree where she has attached herself. Wow, what a powerful illustration of Jesus. He chooses this word as he inspires the text of Scripture to speak of the crucifixion. His crimson red blood stained that cross, but it also covered us, didn't it, as we became children of God? What a great illustration. David now writes of the physical pain the Lord experienced, as he writes here in verse 14, "I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted within my breast. My strength is dried up like a potsherd." A potsherd is a broken piece of pottery that's all dried out. David continues here in verse 15, "My tongue sticks to my jaws." You know, on top of everything, Jesus was extremely thirsty. That's what he's describing. Mark's gospel tells us that Jesus was offered wine mixed with myrrh in chapter 15, but Jesus wouldn't drink it. Why? Well, myrrh was served as a narcotic to deaden the pain, and Jesus wanted to be in full control of everything he did, everything he said on the cross. So he refused that wine. Now, we've already learned just now that Jesus is quoting Scripture. He's experiencing Psalm chapter 22. Now, later on, Jesus will cry out from the cross. The Gospels tell us, "I thirst. I'm thirsty." And on that occasion, he's given bitter wine, which he accepts and drinks, John chapter 19. One author wrote that Jesus began his ministry hungry, and he ended his ministry thirsty. He's the one who gives satisfaction forever to those who hunger and thirst after God. Well, David now speaks even more specifically about Christ's crucifixion. And let me tell you, David is writing about something he doesn't fully understand. See, crucifixion, well, it hadn't even been invented. It hasn't even been conceived yet in the mind of cruel mankind in the day of David. That's going to come later. The Persians will invent crucifixion. It will be perfected by the Romans as a hideous, cruel, painful means of execution. But listen to David writing here about something he doesn't understand. Verse 16, "They have pierced my hands and feet." Listen, beloved, this never happened to David. This didn't happen during the days of David. This is prophetic. This is reserved for the son of David, the Messiah, whose hands and feet will be nailed to a cross. Now with that, David goes on to write here in verse 18, "They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots." Does that sound familiar? Oh, this is one of the events at the cross that all four Gospels record. Why? Because it gives such amazing prophetic testimony that Jesus was the prophesied Messiah. In fact, John's gospel makes the connection crystal clear. He writes in chapter 19 and verse 23 that when the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they took his garments and divided them into four parts. Well, that tunic was seamless, so they said to one another, "Let us not tear it, the tunic, but cast lots for it." This was to fulfill the scripture, which says, "They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots." Beloved, you can't miss it. Jesus the Messiah suffered and died on a cross, just as the Bible foretold, so that your sins and mine could be atoned for and forgiven. Jesus experienced exactly what David prophesied here in Psalm 22. By the way, we're not done. The very last verse in this psalm triumphantly announces, "He has done it." By the way, that same word is translated, "He finished the work," in 2 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 11. What did Jesus say just before he died on the cross? "It is finished." John chapter 19, verse 30. Hey, let me tell you, Jesus didn't say, "I am finished." He wasn't. He said, "It is finished." So this psalm here begins, get this, with Jesus saying, my God, why have you forsaken me? And it ends with this victorious declaration, it is finished. You could translate the expression in John's gospel, the words it is finished, simply paid in full. The word is tetelestai. He paid in full for your redemption. He finished the payment. You know, the Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord, Romans 6:23. You know what? Salvation is free to you because Jesus made the full payment. So have you trusted his work on the cross? Have you asked him to be your personal Lord and Savior? Have you asked him to cover you with his crimson blood, as it were? Have you asked him to wash away your sin? Well, he will. You can ask him right now. You can just simply say something like, Lord, you gave your life for me. Say that to him right now. Lord, your word says that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved, Romans 10:13. So I'm calling on you right now. You sacrificed yourself. You shed your blood. You suffered. You died. You paid for all my sin. You finished it. So please, forgive me. Save me right now. I'm trusting in you alone. Thank you, Lord, for answering me right now. You said that if I call upon you, that you'll save me. Well, I'm calling, and I'm thanking you that you've answered. And now, frankly, Lord, I just want to give my life back to you. Did you pray that prayer? Would you let me know? I'd love to rejoice with you and our entire team here at Wisdom International that you today accepted Christ and his gift on that cross for you. Well, until our next wisdom journey together, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
This lesson is called The Psalm of Christ's Suffering. When we come back next time, Stephen will begin Psalm 23 as he continues this wisdom journey through all of God's Word. If you'd like to go back and listen to any of the previous lessons of the Wisdom Journey, you can. We've posted all the lessons so far on our website. You'll find us at wisdomonline.org. Once again, that's wisdomonline.org. Make use of that, then join us back here next time on the Wisdom Journey.